A couple of years ago, I came across this acronym EDC. And this term, EDC, is quite common amongst people who love the outdoors. Hikers, campers, backpackers, people who are professionals, law enforcers, medical specialists, soldiers. And not just for people who love the outdoors, not just for the regimental professionals, but even urbanized office worker people like you and me. If you look at the internet forum, you'll see that there are many people like you and me who are so-called EDC users. So what is EDC? Alan, you should know.
Everyday carry.
Yeah. Everyday carry, a very simple term, right? Nothing sophisticated. Everyday carry. According to an article posted on Wikipedia, EDC or everyday carry refers to a collection of items. A collection of items which you carry with you every day. That's why it's called everyday carry. And why do you carry them around? You carry them around because you think it's necessary for you. It's necessary for you for everyday needs as well as to handle emergency situations. All right, the things you carry, the amount of things you carry vary from situation to situation and people to people. So you got an idea now? What is EDC? You might be thinking in your mind right now, hey, I'm actually an EDC user because there might be some things in your bag which you carry with you every day, like umbrella, I'm one of them, tissue paper, the one with the choke on it, lipstick, I'm sure, the ladies, pocket knife, power bank, pen, safety pins. So these are all EDC items. Who has at least one of these items in your bag? Good, so you see, you are an EDC user. And why do you carry these things, if I may ask? I suppose you think you have need of them, don't you? Or maybe your bag is too big. You know, never full, right? LV has a never full, right? Anyway, so maybe I believe you think you have need of them. It could be for your protection, for your well-being, for your health, for your work, for your image, right? And on the same plane, I submit to you that Christians ought to carry certain items with them on a daily basis for the purpose of maintaining a Christian walk that is pleasing to God. I have four items for you today, and each of these items, including prayer, can be the subject of a 40 minutes long sermon. But since I do not have the time and do not intend to preach four different sermons, which you probably will be glad, I will use the time I have this morning to briefly describe the importance of these four essential Christian EDC. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we can be in your house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour that we could be fed with your word and even have the time, the opportunity to sing praises unto you. We pray now, Lord, as we are gathered here, may your Holy Spirit continue to use your word to feed us, nourish us, and even teach us today how we can have a Christian walk that is pleasing to you. So we ask, Lord, that you bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first item is prayer. Prayer. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38. For the simple reason that prayer was vital to our Lord Jesus Christ, and his advice was for his disciples to pray likewise. Prayer definitely have a place for in the list of essentials for Christian everyday carry. Now, I'll be using the acronym EDC again and again. But bear in mind, it means everyday carry. Okay? Everyday carry. And the ladies have sang that it was at the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus poured his heart out to the Heavenly Father. Why? For an hour, probably even longer, because his soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Matthew 26, verse 38. And after a few rounds of prayer, the Lord told Peter and the others in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. In the context of this verse, Jesus was warning his disciples about the dangerous days that would lie ahead after that he, Jesus, would be arrested, would be persecuted, and even hung on the cross. The instruction to watch and pray was definitely timely and much needed by the disciples. To watch means to be mentally focused on what we ought to do. Not just watch and do nothing. You know, in the army, we always learn, watch. Yeah, just watch. Don't do. Never help. But no, that's not the case. To watch means to be mentally focused on what we ought to do. And for the disciples, it was to be steadfast in the faith. To remain steadfast in the faith. To diligently and mindfully carry out what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded them to do. But it was not going to be easy. Especially after that Jesus Christ, their master, would be gone from them. And they would face persecution, they would face rejection, and they would be arrested and even be put to death. And that is why they needed to pray. Watch and pray. So that they would not fall into diverse temptation. Temptation to deny their faith. Temptation to forsake the Lord. And even temptation to pray, to preach a different gospel. Likewise, as we go through each day in our Christian life, we ought to watch and pray without ceasing. You know, prayer is like a communication tool. Prayer is like a communication tool for use by Christians to stay in connection, to stay in contact with God. And if I would ask you, what is the most common urban EDC item, which I guess almost everyone here, including children, would have? It would be the handphone. Urban EDC item. Because we want to fulfill the need to stay connected. And I tell you, the way many people today use their handphone would be a good model for Christians to follow. The phone does not need to ring in order for it to be picked up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Nothing to do, just take out, check this, check that. After you put it back, within a second, take it out, as if you forgot what you checked. Right? That is how we use our handphone. We want to check the news. We want to check, hopefully not the 4D, but we want to check the Facebook. We want to check this. We want to check that. We want to check everything. We want to stay connected. Did someone call me? Did the phone ring? I miss it. Did it vibrate? I miss it. You just keep checking. And that is what I mean by being it a good model for us to follow. And that is to stay connected with God. To stay connected with God. Most people today are constantly connected. constantly connected. And likewise for Christians, you do not have to wait until you are down and out then to go to God in prayer. No, you don't have to. You don't have to wait until you are in desperation. In fact, as John Bunyan say, and you probably have heard this from me or read it somewhere before, you can do more than pray after you have prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. That means the very first thing you ought to do is to pray. Then, continue to do what you have planned to do, not the other way. In other words, every day, with his new assignments, with his new challenge, with his new goals, ought to be filled with prayer. Let us turn to James chapter 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. In this verse, James asks, in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Whatever difficult circumstances you face, be it in the form of accidents, disappointments, or physical illnesses, you ought to pray. Whatever circumstances, I say again, you ought to pray. You ought to take time to pray. In times like this, when people around you, when your friends, your colleagues, the people you know are crying out loud, are crying out, or giving up in desperation, or even cursing and swearing, the believer, like you, will be tempted to do the same. You will be tempted to give up as well. And it is in those times that all the more you need to pray. Pray to God. Ask Him for wisdom to handle your situation. Ask Him for wisdom to use your situation to honor Him and bring glory to Him. Pray. The focus, James, in what James is saying here, the focus is definitely not the oil. It's not the oil, nothing special about the oil, nor the elders, alright? The focus here is the faith. The faith. That means you have the faith enough to pray. That's what James is saying. You know, people who don't pray, maybe they already believe, they already think that it won't work. They lack the faith. But here James is saying, pray. Pray with faith. And faith is that which will overcome doubts and fears. Faith is that which will overcome doubts and fear and replace them with the peace and grace of God. Instead of falling into temptation or feeling hopelessly unwell or desperately out of a job, James is teaching Christians to believe in prayer and pray. That is so important. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. That's what the psalmist say in Psalm 62, verse 8. Pour out your heart before Him. Pray. Trust in Him in all times. Do not limit God's power. At all times, in everything big or small, pray. God's hand is not short. Trust in His sovereign control, knowing that God is always honored when His children go to Him in prayer. Remember this thing. God is honored. You are not disturbing Him. You are not bothering Him. He is honored when you go to Him in prayer. Now, as a side note, I'd like to say also that it is good, as James said, to call for the elders and even the rest of the church to pray. And that's what we do on Wednesday. We share prayer requests. We come to church, we share prayer requests. We ask the church to pray for us. But let me remind you, there is no special power or favor with Pastor Moore, Pastor Crocker. No. No special power. They are not like someone who can go to God and what we call jojo him, and God will say, okay, no choice, I have to listen to Pastor Mo. No special power. So what I'm trying to say here, what I'm trying to ask here is, yes, it's good for you to ask for other people to pray, but do you personally pray? Do you personally pray? Is Wednesday a time for you to appear in church to share your prayer request? Hey, everybody, please pray for me. But you never pray. Let me tell you, you have yet to experience effectual fervent prayer until you go to God in person. You go to God in person and pour your heart before Him. Try that. Try that if you have yet to personally pray. Watch and pray, the Lord says, that ye enter not into temptation. Someone has well said, when you are on the line with God, the devil cannot get through because the line is busy. The line is busy. So, try it. Why not the next time you feel like picking up your handphone to check nothing? Spend that time to pray. Spend that time to pray. Pray so that we may know His will. Pray so that we may have the peace in doing His will. The essence of EDC, talking about EDC, the essence of EDC, as I mentioned earlier, is to be ready, right? You don't know when it will rain, so carry an umbrella. I remember when I was young in primary school, I carry umbrella, raincoat, plastic bag. I carry a lot of things because my mom told me to. So the essence of EDC is to be ready for whatever situations that may pop up. Christians ought to be ready too. And that is the next EDC item that I want to talk about. To be ready to share the gospel. To be ready to share the gospel. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that it is God who have reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's state, be ye reconciled to God. As I go through these few verses, first question, who are us and we in these verses? Who are us and we in these verses? If you look through the verses, they are those whom God have reconciled to Himself by Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is talking about, number one, himself. Number two, the believing Corinthians. And in a broader context, Paul is talking about all believers in Jesus Christ. Am I right? So, it is to the same all-encompassing category of believers in Jesus Christ, Paul says, whom God has given the ministry of reconciliation. Follow? Just to be clear, the ministry of reconciliation is to persuade men to be reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. It involves telling others that God was in Christ, came down to earth, reconciling the world unto Himself by not imputing the sin of man unto them, but unto Him. And most of us who have gone through HBST or some theological training would identify this as the doctrine of justification of sinners by the grace of God through faith in the Savior Jesus Christ. And because we have been given this ministry of reconciliation, accordingly, we are now, Paul says, ambassadors for Christ. That means each and every one of us here, if you are a believer, you have this job title. You have this job title. And what makes the gospel an everyday carry item is that God has given to all believers in Jesus Christ the same role and responsibility to represent their Lord Jesus Christ in this lost and dying world. That means all of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, you have this item called the gospel. You have it with you. And therefore you need to carry the gospel with you wherever you go, so that you can do your job. So that you can do your job to pray. And the word here, pray, doesn't mean to pray, as I was talking about in the last point, but to urge, to persuade. Like Paul says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That word means pray. I beseech, I beg you. So our job here is to beg, to urge, to persuade others on behalf of Jesus Christ to be reconciled to God. So in about 5 minutes, I try to summarize the ministry of reconciliation, and what a privilege this is. It is as if God is addressing the lost soul through us. And that is our job. However, not every Christian is doing the work of reconciliation. Not every Christian is doing the job. Why is this so? Perhaps one of the reasons is that they think, now, italic the word, okay? Think. They think that they do not know what to say. They think that they do not know what to say to the lost soul. And if this is the case for you, maybe I can help. Notice with me that it all begins with verse 18. It all begins with the fact that God had reconciled you to himself. It means to say that there was a day when you understood and believe the good news of Jesus Christ, which you probably heard from someone or read in a tract that someone gave to you, or maybe you pick it up in your mailbox or whatever the case might be. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which means to say that you did that exact thing. After reading or hearing the gospel, you put your faith on the word of God. You put your faith in the gospel. And after doing that, based on 1 John chapter 5 verse 13, you now know that you have eternal life because you believed on the name of the Son of God. No longer do you hope for eternal life. No longer do you wonder if you have eternal life. But now you know, because you have believed on the name of the Son of God. So, having personally experienced reconciliation to God by Jesus Christ, you can now tell others who have yet to hear and receive it that Jesus has done the same thing for him or her, can't you? It makes sense, right? It makes logical sense. You see, Paul had the same thought when, in referring to the gospel which he was going to preach to the Corinthians, he said in 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Not that I made it up. Not that I thought about it or whatever, but Paul also received. Now, you can't share what you do not have. But if you do have it, then you definitely can share it. To share or not, that's up to you. But if you have it, you definitely can share it, right? But if you do not have it, then don't talk about sharing. No, I'm willing to share $1,000. No. $100,000, telling Brother Eddie, I'm willing to share $10,000 with you. If you don't have it, then what are you talking about? Right? But if you do have the gospel in you, then definitely you can share it. And that is why the gospel is such an essential EDC item. You know, I mentioned earlier that EDC items vary from people to people, situation to situation. But let me tell you, the gospel is one item, one Christian EDC that ought to be in every believer's bag. You just can't run away from it. Because if you are a believer, you have it. And if you have it, you're supposed to share it. Right? Now, I can say that I know how to lead songs, but am not able to carry a note well. I can say I like to eat, but I cannot cook. But I cannot say that I'm saved and know that I'm on my way to heaven, but do not know the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Does that make sense to you? You are supposed to know if you have been saved. You know, God could have used his angels to carry the gospel to the lost people. And I believe the angels could probably do a better job in converting souls. You know, who would not see an angel coming to him and say, oh, I want to believe in God? Right? But God didn't do that. God chose not to do that. Because the angels do not know the depravity of sin. The angels cannot appreciate what it means to be saved from sin. The angels cannot appreciate the grace of God to save sinners. No, they can't. And that is why Paul states and restates that God has called all sinners saved by grace to proclaim the message of reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ. That is the second EDC item. The first item I talked about was prayer. And prayer, sometimes I think about it, is much like one EDC item that I carry around with me. Right? The pocket knife. Not this one. This one is fake. But I got this picture because I want to bring across a message. You know, the pocket knife is a tool that is seldom used in the urbanized society. But we do carry it around. I mean, some guys do carry it around. And like for my Swiss Army knife, I use it once a week to halve my sermon notes from A5 to A4 using my Swiss Army knife. Right? That is what I call underuse. Underuse. And our prayer is like that. Our personal prayer, I like to think about it as like that. That we, it's a tool, it's a communication tool, but we seldom use it. We seldom use it. And on the other hand, we have some other EDC items in our bag. I mean, if you look through your bag, you might find some items that, hey, I didn't know that it's there. I've been looking for it for a long time. I didn't know it's there. You know, there's some EDC items, some things in our bag that we carry it around with us every day, day in, day out, for the past 5 years, but you've been looking for it. And you probably bought another 5 more of the same thing, and you didn't know that it's there. And I like to think that the next EDC item, Christian EDC item, the Holy Spirit, is somewhat like that. The way we treat the Holy Spirit is somewhat like that. We forget about Him. We forget about Him. In a very real sense, believers do carry the Holy Spirit around with them everywhere they go. If you understand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which our Lord Jesus Christ promised during His earthly ministry, that happen at the moment of salvation. That happens at the moment of salvation. God, the Spirit, takes permanent residence in the body of everyone who is saved. And amongst other life-changing works that the indwelling Spirit carries out in the believer's life, number one, He helps the believer to understand and apply God's truth in his daily life. Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God," God's Spirit, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to help us to understand God's Word, help us to understand the things of God. Likewise, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul also says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. "For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Another work that the Holy Spirit does in us is to help us to pray. I talk about prayer, and now we have the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Many times we do not even know what to pray, how to pray. But the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the Holy Spirit to help us to pray, to put words in our mouth, in our thoughts, so that we may pray in harmony with God's will, as stated in this verse. So that we may pray according to God's will. And another thing that the Holy Spirit does in us is, of course, to bear fruit. To bear fruit in us, as stated in Galatians 5. However, as mentioned moments ago, we can ignore and neglect the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We can ignore or neglect the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we go through our daily routine. We don't even think about His presence. We don't even think about His work in our life. Except during meal time, we pray. And that's just about it. But when we read the Bible in the morning, do we forget to ask Him to illuminate us? To show us when we go about doing a certain new project, handle a new project, do we ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us? We forget. He's there somewhere, but we forget about Him. And this happens when we choose to walk in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. We choose to rather live like the old self than the new man. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we will see the instructions coming from the Apostle Paul, which will help us to deal with this problem. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Rather than going through each day carelessly and aimlessly, worse still, as fools, making unwise choices, we are, as Paul says, to walk wisely and carefully. That is the word. That is what the word circumspectly mean. To walk wisely and carefully in our Christian life. Because there is no time to waste, especially all the more that our time has been given by God. So order our life according to the will of God. That means to say we need to know His will. We need to understand His will, and we need to do His will. And as missionary Start says, only one life to soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So check how you use each day. Are you walking through each day wisely and carefully? But surely We will not be able to do all this by our own self, in our own strength. And that is why Paul says we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the filling of the Holy Spirit? If you go around and ask your Christian friend, I tell you, you will get 10 different meanings. And I am quite sure most of them would be on the other extreme. Like go to the sea and then try to pray, meditate, and then hope that you will be zapped. You know, that's like the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is different from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, all believers have it. Like I mentioned, if you are saved, the Holy Spirit has come to take permanent residence in you, in your heart. That is the indwelling. The filling of the Holy Spirit is when the believer is so completely yielded, given up to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can possess him or her fully, and in the sense, fill the believer. That is what it means by the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is the picture that Paul is trying to bring across when he says that someone can be taken over by intoxicating spirits. And rather than that happening in our life, we ought to be taken over, controlled by the Holy Spirit. But at this time, you might still have that kind of thinking that, yeah, maybe when the Holy Spirit zap me, I'll be taken over and I will do everything in a holy way, pleasing to God. No, that's not what it is. For the Holy Spirit to take over you, you need to first of all allow Him to do so. And that is the starting point. It comes from you. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. And so to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it implies that we allow the Holy Spirit to occupy every part of our life. Personal life, family life, social life, work life, play life, every part of your life. To allow the Holy Spirit to fill us means to allow Him to guide our every thought, decision, our word, our action. To allow the Holy Spirit to fill us means to allow Him to control us in everything, big or small, whether to our liking or not. So, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to put it simply, means to allow the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. And then you do it. As simple as that. That is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here to stay in your heart if you have put your trust in the Savior. The question is, are you just going to carry Him around with you every day? You know, letting Him stay there as a tenant and just go around in your daily life like a fool, as Paul said? Or would you choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God in your daily life and allow Him to play the active part of a controller? Would you do that? That is our third EDC item. And before I come to the final EDC item, let me bring you to John chapter 14, verse 17. John 14, verse 17, the Lord Jesus addressed the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. He says, "Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And this brings me to the final EDC item, which is the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. God's Word, that is another item that we need to carry with us every day in our Christian life. In this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ contrasts the Spirit of Truth with the spirit of this world, which is the spirit of deceit. The spirit of deceit. And here, the Lord says that the Spirit of God who indwells believer is truth and is characterized by truth. Which means to say, as the Spirit that indwells believers, He will not guide believers. He will not control believers contrary to the Bible. That means whatever He teaches believers to do, whatever He guides believers to do, it is all according to the Word of God. The question is, are we sold? Are we also characterized by truth, the truth of God's Word? What I'm saying is that are our motives, our thoughts, our actions, our desires, our goals governed by the Word of God? That means whatever we do, is it being governed by the Word of God? Or are we directed by the philosophy, methodology, lifestyle, and norms of this world? You know, we are in this world. So we are very much influenced by this world. And many times without even us realizing it, the things that we say, the things that we do is very much like the world. Such that the people look at us and see, hey, there's no difference with this guy who claims to be a Christian with the other guy who is of another religion or a free thinker. So we need to check ourselves. Are we characterized by truth? Because the one who indwells us is. The one who indwells us is truth and is characterized by truth. You see, let me give you some examples. I talk about prayer. But Christians can pray for the wrong reason. Christians can pray for the wrong reason, thinking that they can twist the arms of God to gratify their wants. I mean, I've been taught that way as a non-Christian. And as David mentioned, you know, we come to God when? When we're having examination. When our children are having examination. And many of us still pray that way. Not that it's wrong, you know, to ask for prayer during times of exam. That's good. But sometimes we do carry the wrong reason. We think of God as a vending machine. You know, insert our prayer, come in, out comes the answer to our prayer request. You don't like it, throw away, request for another one. But hopefully, when we pray, it is governed by the Word of God. What do I mean by that? Hopefully, when we pray, it is because His Word, God's Word, have told us, have motivated us to pray. To be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And God's Word tells us to let our requests be made known unto God. And God's Word tells us that when we pray, we can claim upon the promise that the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep our heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's why we pray. And when we pray, hopefully we are ready to forsake our will in exchange for God's will. Why? Again, because God's Word tells us in Proverbs 16 verse 9 that a man's heart desire devises his way, but the Lord directeth his path. So God's Word can guide us. Also, Christians, when we share the gospel, hopefully we share and do not modify the gospel. Do not modify the gospel to make it more forgiving, more accommodating. Rather, when we share the gospel, we are to keep within the boundary of God's truth in the Bible. As Pastor mentioned last Wednesday, okay, this is in record, I want him to know that I was listening. Okay? Pastor mentioned last Wednesday that we share the gospel not what we think would be helpful or useful. We don't modify the gospel to make it better. You know, we are ambassadors for Christ, and as ambassador, we represent God's kingdom. So we have no right to change the message of the kingdom. No right. So if God says in His Word, Acts 4, verse 12, that there is no other form or plan of salvation. Then, that's it. No other way means no other way. Even though it might sound harsh, it might sound like, well, harsh, then there's no other way. And then in Hebrews 9:27, if there's no second chance, then there's no second chance. If there's no second chance after death. And after death, we don't just disappear. There is a judgment, according to Hebrews 9, verse 27. But after this, the judgment. Then, that is what it is. The bottom line is that truth matters. Truth matters. So as we go about our daily life, we have prayer, we have gospel, we have the Holy Spirit with us, and we need to have truth. We need to have truth. In fact, the truth of God's word is such a crucial everyday carry item that without it, the rest just fall apart. Everything just fall apart. And that is why we find such a huge variety of Christianity today. When churches and Christians operate beyond the boundary of the Bible. The Bible is no longer the authority for faith and practice. And that is one of our Baptist distinctive. Because everything we believe, meaning everything we believe and do, is according to the Bible. But there are many Christians and churches today that come out of it. They say we have passed beyond. We have gone beyond that. That is old school. Now we try to do things our way. And when you do that, you have a big variety of Christianity. You can make the Holy Spirit do whatever you want. You can pray for whatever reason you want. You can twist the gospel to whatever shape you want. Truth. And that is why I like to think of God's word as the bag or carrier which holds all my EDC items together. Now, even if you don't pack, you know, you just dump everything. Yeah, it's still your carrier. And that is what the truth of God's word is. So, in conclusion, I've just shared with you four everyday carry items, four Christian everyday carry items, which I think are essentials. Essential. And this term EDC may not be familiar to you in the beginning, but I believe you have practiced it before. And so likewise, in your Christian life, I hope that I have aroused an interest in you to take a look at your Christian life. Do you EDC? Do you every day carry the essentials of prayer, the gospel, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the truth of God's word with you to help you maintain a Christian walk that is pleasing to God? Or are you going through life each day ill-equipped, unprepared? I know some of us don't carry things like that. If it rains, find a shelter. Borrow an umbrella. No tissue paper, use your sleeve. Collar, whatever, you know. And you probably have gotten by. And you will continue to get by without your tissue paper, your Panadol, your umbrella, your EDC item. Alright? Just that you might not be able to chop a seat. No tissue paper. You might not be able to relieve your headache when your boss was trying to give you a new hairdo. It is the same. It is the same with this essential Christian EDC. Without them, you're right. Life goes on. Without prayer, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without sharing the gospel, without reading God's word, life goes on. Nothing wrong, life goes on. However, when you every day carry these things with you, it can cultivate in you an attitude of dependence on God through prayer. It can also develop in you a desire for the will of God. When you carry these things with you, you will fulfill your role as an ambassador of Christ. You will be a spirit-filled Christian, as what Pastor Moore has been trying to teach us in the afternoon, to be a spirit-filled Christian. There could be other items in your mind right now that you think you can put inside your bag, but these are the essentials. You can add to your list, but I would say you can't remove any from your bag. So, for your consideration, these are four essential Christian everyday carry items.